Hello and welcome once again to At the Table with Gail, our favourite cook. She's here again in the studio with a selection of recipes. And it's getting towards Christmas, so you might even notice a slight Christmas flavour about some of these. Hello, Gail. Welcome back.
Hello, Peter. Nice to see you in the studio today.
Yes, and you, as you may have gathered, I'm not Catherine. And Catherine has very kindly handed the programme over to me to run for the foreseeable future. So,
Oh, big welcome to you, Peter.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
And yeah, you're right, actually, because I think, you know, because Christmas coming up, lurking fast, I decided that we should really, a lot of people have turkey for Christmas. So I actually went through and found some, a variety, actually, of three different types of turkey stuffing. So I thought that might be interesting for the listeners. So then they get to choose what they want. They might just stick with the basics, but this is something a little bit different.
Well, it makes a difference then from sage and onion, doesn't it?
It certainly does. So we're going to start off first, Peter, with macadamia and cranberry stuffing. Now, these are all pretty short and simple, so, you know, we'll get through the three of them. 125 grams of frozen chopped spinach thawed. And when I thought about this, I mean, I've got spinach in the garden, so I would just weigh out 125 grams and just basically just give it a quick cook. And that would be my frozen spinach. But if you haven't got it growing in the garden, well, there you are. 1 cup of fresh breadcrumbs, 1/3 cup of dried cranberries chopped coarsely, 1/3 cup of unsalted macadamia nuts, chopped, 2 teaspoons of coarsely chopped fresh thyme, and 1 teaspoon of finely grated orange rind. Now, the only thing about this is basically what you have to do is just make sure that you squeeze out the moisture in that spinach. That's all I'm saying, you know, because you don't want it soggy. You've got breadcrumbs in there. So if you are using the frozen spinach, make sure that it's actually thawed before you put it in with the mixture so that you can squeeze out that excess. Just put it in a tea towel or handy towel or something like that and just give it a good squeeze. And same if you're using fresh, you know, really give it a good squeeze because you don't really want that water. And all you're doing is basically mixing it together, all those ingredients together, and you're stuffing your turkey with it.
Sounds pretty simple.
Oh, it is. Yes.
Funny stuff, spinach, isn't it? Because you can get a great big bucket full of it, and by the time you've heated it up, it's down to an egg cup.
Believe me, I do know that, Peter, because I grow it, and I've actually got a lot of spinach, and my granddaughters, when they come for tea, they ask for more.
That's great. Kids
they
these
ask
days.
For more, and I do a big pot. I really fill it up to, you know, right to the brim, and when it's cooked, we've got from right to the brim, right down to about an eighth or something at the bottom. But it's usually plenty there, and it's lovely to have it so fresh. Just a little bit of water and a little bit of butter, salt and pepper. Beautiful.
Well,
absolutely
good for you.
Beautiful.
And good for them. Well, Popeye always swore by it, didn't he?
Yeah, big muscles, didn't he?
Yes. Yeah.
Now, we're going to move on to the second one, which is almond and cherry stuffing. Just another different one, and they have got the illustrations here, so I can see that they are really look very enticing. Heat 100 grams of butter in a large frying pan over medium-low heat. Add 2 finely chopped medium onions, 2 crushed cloves of garlic. Cook, stirring until soft, and then transfer to a large bowl. Add 3 cups of fresh sourdough breadcrumbs. I always think it's lovely to have the fresh breadcrumbs if you can do it. If you've got some stale bread, buns or whatever, I always think, you know, it's lovely because they're sort of chunkier. They're really quite nice, and just do them in the processor. And if you haven't got a processor, well, you can grate them, but it doesn't quite have the same effect. But 3 cups of breadcrumbs, 1 cup of fresh pitted half cherries, 1 1/4 cups of toasted flaked almonds, 1/2 cup of finely chopped flat leaf parsley. Well, it says flat leaf, but just parsley. A flat leaf's not going to taste any different, I don't think.
I'm never quite sure about that either. I just throw parsley.
Parsley. Parsley's parsley, isn't it?
Mm.
So, and 2 teaspoons of finely grated lemon rind and 1 lightly beaten egg and season. And basically, here we are again. All you're doing is putting all those ingredients into a bowl, mix it till it's well combined, and put in the cavity of the turkey Or I suppose it's okay to put it in chicken, actually.
You say 1 cup of fresh pitted halved cherries. Are you talking about fresh cherries, though?
Yes.
Will they be available at Christmas?
I think they usually are. Yes.
I think
there's some in the shops at the moment, but you'd have to blink twice at the price or something.
Yes,
but if you just need 1 cup, they probably have loose cherries, so you can, you know, pick out a few.
I just wondered if you actually do mean, though, fresh cherries.
Yeah, fresh pitted cherries. Yes, mm-hmm. So there you are. So that's the almond and cherry. And, of course, you just can dry fry your flaked almonds just, you know, very quickly. So that's, you know, toast them. It's important to toast it. Brings out the flavour. Now, the last one that we've got here is currant, pine nut and lemon stuffing. Now, we're heating again 100 grams of butter in a large frying pan over medium-low heat. Add 2 finely chopped medium onions, 3 crushed cloves of garlic, and 1 tablespoon of finely grated lemon rind. Now, you're stirring that for about 5 minutes until soft. Transfer again into a large bowl. Add also 3 cups of sourdough breadcrumbs, 1/4 cup of currants, 1/3 cup of toasted pine nuts and 1/2 cup of finely chopped fat flat leaf parsley and also a lightly beaten egg and season well and mix really well. So that's another one. These are really quite simple, very different ingredients, but I think be lovely.
And where do you put your stuffing, Gail, if it's not an impolite question?
Well, no, it's not. I should imagine there's probably ways of, they're having the cavity in the turkeys and that. So I would probably make sure, because if it's well combined, you should sort of put it in your hand and it should be quite firm. So you can actually put it in the turkey. And, well, I suppose it's the rear end, I guess.
Well,
yeah.
The end with the big hole.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. So I'd put it in there. And if you've got metal skewers, that's what I'd use to close the cavity.
Right, okay. What about the stuffing, pushing up between the skin and the breast? That seemed to come into fashion at one time.
Peeling the skin back and pushing. You could do that. I think you could probably do something like that with thinly sliced lemon or something like that.
Okay.
But I think having it in the turkey itself sort of probably gives it more flavour.
Yep.
But doing something simpler, I guess, would be peel the skin back. Add a few flavours there, but with the stuffing, you've got quite a bit of bulk.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, so, mm-hmm. And then, basically, that becomes part of the meal, doesn't it? Because if it's sort of quite solid, you can cut a little bit, you know, off and put it on the plates, and it's like an extra vegetable, really.
A slice of stuffing.
Yeah, exactly. So there you are, if you're having turkey, but if you're not having turkey, I'm sure those will do for a lovely roast chicken as well. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And I'm not having turkey, so
What are you having then, Gail?
I'm not quite sure yet, actually. Oh. I haven't worked out my menu. Mm. Yeah, that's to come. The shops are right open till the 24th, so there you are. Now, I'm going to move on, Peter, to this one, and I thought this is quite a nice one for entertaining. And I looked at it again, and I thought, oh, that's quite simple. Maybe it's, maybe I shouldn't have added it in. But anyway, I thought, no, this is really nice and quick if you're having sort of visitors or having a little get-together, wine and cheese or whatever. But this one is smoked salmon and cucumber bites. Now, finely chop the whites of 3 spring onions. Finally slice the tops for serving. That's your green pieces. Combine 300 grams of smoked salmon, 100 grams of softened butter, 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, and 2 tablespoons of cream in a food processor until smooth. Now, get a lovely long telegraph cucumber, from the supermarket or out of your garden. Slice 2 telegraph cucumbers into 2-centimetre rounds. Top the cucumbers with the salmon mixture and garnish really with the finely sliced spring onion on top. And it does look lovely. And I'm going to show this to Peter because, really simple, but quite effective on a wooden board.
Well, I can assure you, I'm looking at the picture now, and it does look nice. And I've a feeling that in the not too distant past, I've had something very similar, and it's so simple but beautiful to eat. You know,
nice and refreshing, actually, as well. Yeah. And I do like I like salmon, so you know.
Well, yes, yeah. No, that's a great idea. I say nice and simple, hand them round, good stuff.
It's right. Now, I'm going to move on, Peter, because I found this too as well. And I thought, you know, if people are, you know, having other than poultry for Christmas, I found this tip for the perfect pork crackling. And I mean, do you like pork crackling?
Do I like pork crackling?
Silly question by the sounds of things. Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah, I love pork crackling too, but ooh, try not to eat too much of it.
Have to say, I have never succeeded in I've cooked many a roast pork joint, and I've never, ever produced any decent crackling.
Well, you'll be very interested in this tip, Peter.
I will, yes.
Okay. So now, for the perfect pork crackling, salt the skin of the pork well, then store uncovered in the fridge overnight so that the salt draws out the excess moisture from the skin and it dries out. So you're bringing out all that salt does that, bring it out. Then in the morning, very lightly wipe with olive oil, but only a very light cover. So very light. If you've got a pastry brush, maybe just put a little bit in a dish, brush it over lightly, don't soak it, and salt it again. Salt it again, and then put the pork straight into 220 degrees, Fahrenheit, and Celsius, and put it in the oven to roast. Now, that should work.
Now, that's a new one on me, the idea of salting it and putting it in the fridge overnight. Because everybody says, what they all say, dry it thoroughly, put the salt. Then you try and rub salt on it and it just falls off anyway.
Yeah.
So there you are. But I like the idea in the fridge overnight so it dries out.
That's right. And all the moisture actually will be coming out, you know, from that skin, dropping on the plate.
Wonderful. And, I mean, what a fantastic combination. Lots and lots of salt and lots of pork fat.
Yeah.
Be still my beating heart. Yeah, my body would be.
Yeah, so I just thought, I noticed that when I was looking through some books, and I thought to myself, look, that's great, because I actually like pork too as well, cooked beautifully, and I just thought this might be a good tip as well.
So do you think if you're going to put it in the oven at 220 degrees, like bang it in, are you going to judge that the pork's cooked by looking at the crackling as much as anything else?
Well, no, because I would have thought maybe, it doesn't say for how long, but I would have thought if it's not going to be dried out pork, that it would be quite moist, so you could probably bring it out if the pork crackling is really getting beautiful, that sort of rich dark brown, isn't it? Beautiful. And just bring it out and maybe see if that's put a skewer in, and if the skewer comes out clear, or you know it's clear coming out, it should be cooked. But I'm just thinking, Peter, just on my own bat, thinking if it really has crackled up prior to the cork being cooked, you could actually take the crackling off.
Well, you could, certainly, yeah.
And then wrap tinfoil around the rest of the pork and continue cooking.
And look, I mentioned last week about, we talked about temperatures, about using a thermometer, you know, the
thermometer. Yes, you did.
I very rarely do, but it's a great time to use it.
It is.
Turkeys and things with big, thick lumps of meat, so you want to know they're hot enough inside.
Yes, they were talking about that on the radio, about chicken, you know, being very careful with your poultry over the Christmas period.
Indeed.
So that's be mindful.
Yes, that's a good tip. Yeah, you certainly, you know, people are going to be so careful with chicken, aren't you? Right, Gail, that's some nice bits and pieces there. I think we're going to play a little bit of music now and move into the segue into the into the second half of the programme. So bearing in mind, it is getting close to Christmas. I think this is your last programme before
Christmas.
It is,
actually, till 2024 we come back, of course. And, so maybe we should have something jolly.
I'll find something jolly and slip it in.
Okay.
jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bell time and jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square. In the frosty air, what a bright time. It's the right time to rock the night away. Jingle bell time is a swell time to go gliding in the one-horse sleigh. Giddy up, jingle horse, pick up your feet. Jingle around the clock. Mix and a mingle in the jingling feet. That's the jingle bell rock.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bell chime and jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square.
Gliding in the one-horse sleigh. Giddy up, jingle horse, pick up your feet. Jingle around the clock. Mix and a mingle in the jingling feet. That's the jingle bell. That's the jingle bell. That's the jingle bell
There, a little bit of Christmas flavour just to end the year.
It's come round quick.
It certainly has. So where are we going now?
Well, these are super spuds, but I'm not going to call them spuds. I'm going to call them potatoes. But this is a sage and potato tart. Now, this is quite simple and it's very sort of easy to do. And I thought, wow, this is great for just whipping up and just using potatoes, basically, garlic and sage, and a bit of grated cheese and egg. So, and it looks lovely in the illustration, something that you'd like to just whip up, very quickly to have with your lunch or tea. So what we're doing first, and I don't know whether I actually added that on my copy to you, Peter, that you're preheating the oven to 200 degrees Celsius. So I don't think I did that because I was a little bit ahead of myself.
No, you didn't. So I'd be all ready and turn around and say, oh, now she tells me to put the oven on.
So basically, make sure you put your oven on because this does actually go in the oven. So you're placing 400 grams of small potatoes and get lovely wee potatoes, a bit of butter, a large handful of sage. And if you've got that in the garden, but I think they sell it in little pottles in the supermarket. I've seen it. And 3 cloves of garlic, finely chopped. About 60 grams of grated cheese. And the flavour is probably entirely up to you. And you might be able to squeeze another 20 grams in or something. Because I'm a bit of a... I love cheese. So you might be able to do that. But this recipe calls for Gouda. But... I think you could use other cheeses as well, and you could just use ordinary mild or, Edam or something
get some
like that.
Strong cheese.
Oh, look. Oh, flavor. He's a cheese man too.
Vintage
as well.
Stuff.
Yeah, okay. So there you are. I think it will make a difference to the whole end product. And 1 egg beaten and about 400 grams of savoury pastry. And you can just buy that. You don't have to make that. You can make it if you want to, but about 400 grams is plenty.
That's short crust, is it?
That is savoury. Yeah, savoury pastry or short crust.
So what do you call savoury pastry? Are you talking about...
I thought short crust can sometimes be sweet.
Yes, it can. You can put some sugar in.
But, yes.
You're not talking about flaky pastry?
No, I'm not. I'm just talking about a savoury pastry. Mm. Yes, a savoury. You can get a savoury one that's not flaky.
Yeah. Right.
So this is what you're using for this one. And now what we're doing is actually putting those small potatoes in plenty of water and with a teaspoon of salt and simmer until tender. In the meantime, melt a tablespoon of butter in a frying pan over a moderately high heat. Once it's foaming up, we had a word last week, didn't we? Was sprink, was it? When it gets all sprinkly
or something.
Yeah, it was a word, which we found rather unusual.
Haven't brought it with me.
Well, anyway, this week it's actually foaming. So when it's foaming up, add the sage and fry quickly until crisp. Then remove and set aside. To the same pan, lower the heat a little, add the garlic and fry gently in the leftover butter until it is soft and fragrant. Then remove from the heat as well and set aside. Once the potatoes are done, drain and let them cool a little. Thinly slice half of them and set aside. And then chop the remaining into pieces or chunks and transfer to a bowl and mash with the garlic, a little of the sage, the cheese, and lots of salt and pepper to taste, and mix in the egg. So what we're doing now is rolling out the pastry. Have you got a nice rolling pin at home? Have you got a wooden one or a marble one?
A traditional wooden one. Well, yeah. Just a piece of wood.
Yeah, I've got a wooden one too. Yeah, I love the big, you know, rolling pins. So, back in the day you could use a milk bottle, but if you're lucky.
I might find a wine bottle.
Empty one at that, I can tell.
Well, soon would be.
Yeah. Having the milk bottle was handy for this type of thing. I think I've actually got one hidden in my cupboard. But rolling out the pastry into a large circle, sort of probably dinner plate size would do, and place on a lined baking tray. Spread the mashed potato mix out evenly in the circle, leaving about 2 inches around the perimeter, so you're not spreading it right to the edge. Scatter the sliced potatoes over the top, followed by the sage that you had left, and it's been sauteed, so it'd be lovely and crisp. Fold the edges of the pastry back onto itself. Now, I've done this quite a bit, you know, when you're baking something, when it's not actually in a dish. So you're just getting it and you're rolling it over, roll it into itself. So you're making a little edge, and then you're just going to crimp it round, pinching it every so often. So you've got a nice little wee sort of like, well, you've made it yourself, actually. It's a sort of like a tin in itself, but so that stuff doesn't spread out and go out. So you're doing that. And pop it in the oven and bake for about 25 minutes until the pastry is crisp and golden, and allow to cool before serving. This looks absolutely lovely, and you could probably serve it with a little salad with some beautiful soft goat cheese or something similar.
You didn't tell me to put the oven on.
Oh, okay.
No, you did mention.
Yeah, I did say preheat the oven.
You did finally. Yes. I was trying to remember what you said to preheat it to.
Yeah, that's right. 200 degrees 200. Celsius. Yeah, 200 degrees Celsius. And basically, when we do our baking, it is important actually to put our oven on first, you know, because otherwise you go dum-de-doo, waiting around for it to heat up. So usually the first thing to do. So that's our sage and potato tart, Peter. I think that's quite nice.
I think that sounds quite intriguing.
I'd like to think that I'd like to add that somewhere over the Christmas period to my menu, actually.
Catherine would have liked that. She would have.
Yeah, she'd love that. She would like this too, which is coming up.
Oh, right. Okay.
And we've got a salad. We could actually have this, you know, Peter, thinking about it, with that sage and potato what did we call it?
The tart.
A tart, yeah. You could have this salad with that.
Well, you tell us about it and then we'll decide.
Okay, righto. Okay, so we've got red quinoa salad with sweet and sour capsicum. So we're needing for this 2 medium red onions cut into thin wedges, 3 small mixed capsicums cut into thirds. Now, you can have a red, yellow and green. That would make a beautiful salad, but if you haven't, just all one colour. But, you know, it's nice to have a bit of colour. 1/3 of a cup of olive oil, 2 cloves of garlic sliced, 2 tablespoons of fresh lemon thyme leaves. Now, when I read this, I thought, is that 2 tablespoons of fresh lemon? like Juice, which they've missed off, and then they've got Time Leaps. But no, I think I had to read it all in one to get Lemon Time Leaps. So you must be able to get Lemon Time Leaps. I don't know. But if you can't, I'd just say Ordinary Time Leaves and grate a bit of lemon zest over it. You know, that's my opinion anyway. But I hadn't heard of Fresh Lemon Thyme Leaves. So just if you want to, do that.
Can you just use fresh lemon leaves? I know you could use lime leaves because I've done that.
Well, can you?
Yeah, they're fantastic, yeah.
I've never tried it with lemon. Fresh lemon leaves. They're quite coarse.
Yeah, well, I wonder that. But yes. Lime leaves, if you cook with lime leaves, wonderful flavours.
Oh, oh, wow.
You get a nice green gravy as well.
Oh, oh, well, I never knew that. But lemon leaves are quite coarse, and I've never heard of that, Peter.
Mm.
Never heard of that. But anyway, we've got a quarter of a cup of sultanas to go with that, a quarter of a cup of red wine vinegar, a quarter of a cup of honey, 1 cup of red quinoa, 1/2 cup of coarsely chopped roasted walnuts. Oh, sounds good. And 100 grams of feta crumbled and 1/2 cup of fresh mint leaves. Have you got mint growing? It's wild.
Yes, we
usually.
Have, I think. Yep. Yes. Yep. Yeah.
Usually got it. Easy enough to grow.
Got it somewhere. Yeah, well, once it goes, it
yeah,
goes.
Yeah, I know, it goes. Mm. So what we're doing, listen to me, Peter, preheat the oven to 220 degrees.
I'll just pop and put it on now.
Right, okay. Mm. Line an oven tray with baking paper. Place the onion and capsicum on the tray and drizzle with 1/2 the oil. Sprinkle with garlic and thyme seasoning. Roast vegetables for 30 minutes or until tender and golden. Transfer to a bowl, add the sultanas, vinegar and honey and toss to combine. This is easy once it gets together. Meanwhile, place the quinoa and 2 cups of water in a medium saucepan. Bring to the boil, reduce heat to low and cook covered for 15 minutes, similar to rice, or until the quinoa is tender. And fluff up that quinoa with a fork, just like you do with rice. Add the quinoa and remaining oil to the capsicum mixture, toss gently to combine and season to taste. Now you can serve that warm or at room temperature, topped with that walnuts, the feta and the mint. Sounds absolutely lovely. Absolutely. My kind of salad.
I'm trying to see now, going back over this subject of the fresh lemon. See, it's 2 tablespoons. Presumably mean fresh lemon juice, do they?
Well, that's what I thought.
But then
2 tablespoons of fresh lemon, and then the next line it says thyme leaves.
Oh,
so
I
thought 2 tables of fresh lemon thyme leaves, because I'll tell you why I took that up on board, Peter, because above it, it's sort of got, where did it say, 1/4 cup of red wine vinegar. Oh, no, that was underneath it. But I just sort of thought it was a separate inclusion in the recipe, but it doesn't say 2 tablespoons of fresh lemon juice.
I'll tell you what else it doesn't tell you either. It doesn't tell you when to put it in.
It says to, is that right? So, if it is 2 tablespoons of fresh lemon thyme leaves, it tells us when to put that in. So
yes.
That's what I'm thinking. That's what it is there. You're placing, sprinkle with garlic and thyme season. And I think that's definitely what it means, is
thyme. Right.
Yeah, must be able to buy it.
Oh, right then. Yeah. Let's assume you can.
Well, let's assume you can. But like I said, if you can't, grate a bit of lemon rind over the top of the thyme.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to hurt the recipe.
I don't think so, no.
No.
I mean, these things have got to come from somewhere, haven't they?
Well, of course they do.
It just happens, and you could just have a slightly different angle on it.
Well, it's always good to have a different angle, Peter. So that's our salad. Now, do you think that would go with the lovely sage and potato tart?
I think it'd be worth a try.
Mm.
Be worth a try.
That'd be quite nice.
Because my cry is always, where's the bacon?
Where's the like.
So I shouldn't do that. Gail, that's fantastic.
So how are we going for time?
We're gone. We're gone. That's absolutely perfect.
Oh,
you've
beautiful.
Filled your 30 minutes perfectly.
Well, I'd just like to say, Peter, happy Christmas to you for a start.
Thank you.
And happy Christmas to all our listeners. Keep listening. And if you've missed anything, just refer to our podcast.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. Thank you, Gail. And yes, as I seem to be a permanent person here, I've got really good news because last week I said, Gail goes away and I have to do all the washing up. Well, great news. Catherine's got to do it this week. All right, Gail, have a wonderful Christmas.
We I
look
will.
Forward to having you back in the studio
Resuming.
Early in 2024.
Beautiful. Thank you, Peter.
Bye for now.
This program is made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.